Today's What Do You Think program is brought to you by your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents, Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Corey Vollmer and Deb McBride in Elkton, Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswick in Unionville, and Tim Fritz in Bad Axe. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
It's just about 10 minutes past 10 o'clock. Our guest in the studio today is Clark Brock. He is on the Huron Community Fair Board, and we're going to be talking about that thing that comes up every year. We call it the Huron Community Fair. It's the 143rd edition coming up next week, and there's some new things, some traditional things, and always something happening. Thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Thanks, Craig. We appreciate having the opportunity to come in and share a little bit about the fair. As those of us on the board would like to say, it's the place to be.
It's your first year on the board. They're really tossing you to the wolves when they send you to me, eh?
Well, I guess they said I've had a little bit of experience with a few of these things before, and I kind of like to talk. So, Clark, go tell them what's happening.
Okay, well, we'll start off. What are the new things coming up at the fair this year? Everybody, we'll talk about the traditional stuff that's coming back, but everybody wonders what you've dreamed up new for the fair this year.
Sure. It's always a challenge for us to try and come up with new and different things. We know people like to have something different. Probably our biggest new this year is we're going to have a Miracle of Life tent that will be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of the fair. In that, we will have hopefully, if everything works the way it's supposed to, we will have a couple of dairy cows that will be giving birth during that time period. We will have a couple of sows that either will farrow at that time or will have just farrowed to have the baby pigs there. We have chicks in the incubator that are supposed to hatch at that time. So we'll have those kinds of things going on. We will also be running videos of animal births and have people around that can answer questions and show people what that's all about. A lot of people don't realize you're in a rural community. We understand that. But many people actually don't get the opportunity to see the live animal birth or the babies minutes after birth in that process. So we're hoping that that goes off very well this year.
Where they have the biggest eyes and are the cutest.
You betcha. Absolutely. A number of fairs have started this, and we kind of took a look at it and thought it might be a nice attraction and let some of the less farm people get a little better view of that. So that's new this year.
And is this something that, you know, you kind of let the parents know whether they think it's age appropriate for their kids?
Actually, as far as we're concerned, if you live in a rural community, the sooner you start knowing about life and how it happens and what's involved with it is probably a good thing. Once those babies hit the ground, I don't think you can be too young to enjoy the tiny little animals and what happens, and the educational process is there for them as well. So,
but you can get those looks when they go, stork, huh?
Yeah, well, you get a little bit of that, and we understand that, and we will have personnel in the tent that can help answer some of those questions and explain some of those. But, you know, 4 or 5 years old isn't too young to enjoy the baby animals, and all the way through grandparents that enjoy that experience with those kids.
Is that a difficult thing for the people who own the animals to do? I mean, a lot of them are very protective of their animals, and they want to make sure that they're not, you know, exposed to anything. And it's one of the most, you know, exposed parts of the animal livestock industry.
Absolutely, it is, and we really we've been planning this for over a year. We have a couple of local farmers that have been just wonderful about working with us. Jake Zwimmer and his wife out at Zwimmer Dairy for the dairy animals, and Sasha will actually be there. I think her trailer is going to be parked right outside the tent. She won't be very far from those cows through the entire time. And Bob Bloomer from Bloomer Enterprise has actually given us the two bred sows that will be farrowing that will actually then belong to the fair, because health issues and things, you don't put pigs back in a barn once they've been exposed to that. So those were actually donated to us. And, of course, the baby chicks, you get those eggs, and they're our responsibility at that point, and we'll work hard at making sure that proper health care and things are taken care of. But it is a natural setting. There are no guarantees and no promises of what happened when you bring animals into that type of setting.
are animals generally better at this than humans, and not going off at 3 o'clock in the morning to do this, or do you have more successes? Other people have done this around the state. Do you have more successes during actual fair hours?
We visited Oakland County. Their fair just wrapped up last Sunday, and we actually were able to borrow a few things from them that we're using, and had conversations with their superintendent of the barn. When we went down on Monday as their fair was starting, which would have been 2 weeks ago, they had some pigs that were already born because of, that's just kind of how the timing went. And when we were down yesterday picking up some supplies and materials, the beef cow that they had, when they took her home, she calved. So it is nature, and as much as we can know when due dates and due is, we hope for the best.
All you can do is cross your fingers.
That's right. I can assure that we will have some baby animals there one way or another.
And the kids and the adults both like that.
Sure, absolutely, you bet.
And are they accessible? Sometimes animals get a little protective of their young.
We're safety first, always. And for the most part, we will have a pretty much hands-off for the public. They'll be able to be right there, very close, very accessible. But for the most part, it will be hands-off for the public for a safety factor. Those mothers are protective, just as we as people are pretty protective of our children. They are very protective of their young as well. So we will set things up to make sure that that safety is in fact, and we will ask for the most part that it's hands-off until we feel comfortable about how that situation might be.
And the people who are, you know, donating the animals to be there, they pretty much know that the animal is either good with people or not, and they would only bring the ones that would be good having people around.
Sure, we try and work. As I say, we've been planning this for over a year, and we look at every aspect we can to try and make it as safe and educational as we possibly can.
And where are you having this at? There, what building or area, or will there be a big sign you're not going to miss it?
There'll be a big sign. You won't miss it. It will be in a tent that will be just west of the swine barn, which is right next to where the llamas normally are, right on the edge of the midway, very accessible. There will be a sign there, a Miracle of Life banner that will hang outside the tent, and so it's going to be hard to miss as you come in and enter the fairgrounds.
Just a little beyond spitting distance of the llamas.
You betcha. We hope. Yeah, absolutely.
Other things at the fair coming up new? A
couple other new things. First of all, if anybody's interested out there, we are conducting a raffle this year. You can contact any fair board member. We're going to be giving away a 2-year lease on a Chevy Cruze, brand new Chevy Cruze for a 2-year lease, 2 different halves of beef and 2 halves of hogs. So for $20, you get a shot at winning that with proceeds that help offset many of the costs that we have that operate the fair. And those will be available all week at the fair, as well as any time leading up if you see a fair board member. Okay. Couple other things. Wednesday night's entertainment, a little bit different. We have a band coming in on Wednesday night. 60-70 type music, a fun entertainment. A couple of the band members have local ties to Bad Axe, family members that live in the Bad Axe area. And we're going to tie that into last year we started a little karaoke contest that we had. Monday and Tuesday night there will be preliminaries in the swine barn, and we will wrap that up in front of the grandstands with this group on Wednesday night. So if anybody out there wants to express their vocal cords as well, come on in on Monday or Tuesday to the hog barn in the evening and have a chance to do a little preliminary with the karaoke, and we'll have our big contest with some prizes that will be given Wednesday night with that group.
The hogs don't mind?
The hogs don't mind. A couple people thought they did last year, but we'll move the finals down in front of the grandstands, and it's actually in the show arena and where we have the sale, and we have things set up with the bleachers there, and it's a pretty nice little venue.
Because there are some people who think they can sing.
There are some, and we encourage anybody that thinks or can and to come on out. Express yourself, and it's a fun time. That's what it's all about. That part of it is not so much about professionalism as it is about just having a fun time at the fair.
And all kinds of jokes about hogging the microphone, I'm sure.
You betcha. Absolutely. That's great. So And those are pretty much our new things that we have this year. During the week, on the grounds by the sponsors' tent, there is a dog show that will go on that is they do the agilities and some of the disc things where they do tricks and things, and that will be daily events that will be going on there for entertainment.
So it's a performance base rather than like a dog show, an AKC type of
right,
event.
It's not a contest. It's not a that. It's a performance, and you can come out and enjoy that. Every afternoon at the fair, they will be there performing, doing their tricks and putting on a show, and that's free of charge.
And you can look at him and say, we'll never get our dog to do that.
I have two at home, and I know that mine wouldn't consider doing that at all, but it's still a lot of fun.
A lot of fun to watch. You've got the Midway coming back again?
Midway coming back. Elliot's will be back again this year, starting up on Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday through Saturday. They'll be there doing their thing. We also have worked very hard again this year. We have a number of sponsors that have helped us out. $12 ride tickets all week long, so every day's kids' day if you look at it that way. Normally it would be $15. That's what their normal charge at other fairs are, and we worked with them and with local sponsorship to make it $12 all week long.
And you buy that once, and you're good for the day.
Buy it once, you're good for the day. It's a wristband. You know, you come on in and do that, and the kids can ride till they don't feel good, or
till they feel
wonderful. Yes, till Gibby Fries show up. Absolutely.
Okay, and I assume you have all the vendors people want coming.
All
back.
The regular vendors. Gibby's will be there along with the other food vendors and everybody else. Couple new vendors this year. I'm not sure exactly. That's not my department to deal with the food vendors, but I know we have one or two new ones that will be coming in as well.
Excellent. Some new tastes of the fair coming your way. The Midway, is it going to be any of the carnival games, or are we more to the rides?
They still have the games. In recent years, the games aren't quite as much as people used to play them. But
no,
they're still there.
There's no hand controls and Wi-Fi
No Nintendo, no Wii, that kind of thing. But the hand-eye skill coordination games will be there, the skilled events and that, and those games will all still be there this year.
And it's always impressive to win something for your date.
Oh, you betcha. Make sure, guys, get your date out there and win her that teddy bear. I don't think there's any of us that have ever attended a county fair with a date that haven't tried to impress her by taking that teddy bear home.
And trying to do the ring toss or whatever else is out there.
Sure. You betcha. Lions Club food and the bingo tent will be there and all kinds of things like that as well.
Hey, we're going to take a break for 60 seconds and we'll be back.
What do you think of when I say the word retirement? Sunny days in Florida? A quiet lake in northern Michigan? Your first thought should be your Farm Bureau insurance agent. Farm Bureau has helped out thousands of Michigan people enjoy happier, more secure retirements. IRAs and annuities, a lifetime retirement income, big tax advantages, and competitive interest rates. Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company of Michigan is rated one of the 50 most outstanding life insurers in America. So call your Farm Bureau insurance agent today. Remember, it's not who you call after retirement, it's who you call before that makes the difference. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Contact one of your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents. Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswack in Unionville, Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Tim Fritz in Bad Axe, or Deb McBride or Corey Vollmer in Elkton.
Michigan, my Michigan.
We are back again. Our guest is Clark Brock. He's on the Huron Community Fair Board. We're talking about the upcoming fair next week. In fact, it starts again on Sunday this year with events out at the fairgrounds.
Actually, it does. We kick off this Sunday we're bringing back the Indian Trails Rodeo. Been a couple years since they've been there. Few things that didn't work out for a couple years, and we're back with them. They will kick things off on Sunday afternoon with their rodeo. Come on out, enjoy that local flair. Those people are all local people that are involved with that. talking with a couple of them very recently about the excitement that they have going with some of their animals that they'll have, the bucking broncs and some of that kind of thing. So we're excited to have them back on Sunday to kick off the fair.
Is that a day when people start bringing their animals to the buildings anyway? They might be out there and dropped off the animals and stay for the show?
Sunday is when the livestock all start moving in. We actually would encourage people go to the rodeo on Sunday afternoon, not come to the barns for the livestock until at least later on Sunday. Give us a chance to get those animals all in. We
if
start
you're bringing your own livestock there, that
sure.
might be a thing to do. Drop them off and then go see the show.
Sure. Some of the people that bring their livestock, get them in, get them all checked in their pens, and then go down to see the rodeo. And other people in the community that want to see that, come on down enjoy the rodeo, and when the rodeo is over on Sunday evening, you can wander through the barns and check out the animals.
People need to remember to bring their paperwork with the animals. You have kind of strict guidelines as to what they need to have as far as paperwork to be
sure.
able to be at the fair, because you're protecting everybody else who's there.
Sure. We're in communication with our exhibitors. All of our exhibitors at the fair are 4-H and FFA members and families and have had multiple meetings throughout the years, so they know exactly what has to be. We've done our weigh-ins and our taggings and all of that kind of thing and try to check our paperwork. So we try and make it as easy as we can when we come across the scales, but we do remind those people with the beef animals to make sure they have their proper paperwork to identify and that kind of thing, and make sure you bring the right animal that you tagged in and weight ranges and that kind of thing. But
I'm sure to us they all look the same. I'm sure they know their animals.
it's interesting. Some of the exhibitors, you start talking about those big steers and they may have purchased them back in September or October almost a year ago. Sometimes they purchase two to have a spare in case one doesn't do what they want it to or they have a problem. So we go through some of that process of making sure which animal is. And of course, it excites me as you watch the kids that are involved with it and you get the multiple children from the same family. And I've had an opportunity over the years to spend a lot of days on farms getting ready for the fair. And, you get out and there's three or four kids at home in the months leading up to the fair working with those animals and doing the practice work and practicing their showmanship and cleaning and grooming. And people need to understand how much time goes in for all the exhibitors and everyone getting ready for the fair. We don't just load the animals up on Sunday morning and say, hey, it's time to go to the fair. There are months of preparation that go in.
Do you have to prepare the first timers, that this animal is not coming back with you? You've spent so much time on these animals, and, then they go to sale.
It's part of the process. Actually, it's interesting because when I would work with kids in that fashion, our farm kids understand that concept. That's what they raise the animals for. They're a livestock that are raised for the food industry. And they know and understand that. It's oftentimes some of the kids that aren't farm kids that we get that opportunity for them. We try to encourage everybody to get an opportunity. And if you happen to live in town and have good friends that maybe aren't in town, have the facilities, and we get some of those town kids an opportunity to go out and raise those animals to bring in, that's a great opportunity, a great educational experience. Those are the ones that education takes a little bit more with. And the kids can get real attached to the animals. You have them for months and you spend a lot of time with them.
Well, any animal kid's name usually end up being more of a pet than anything else.
My boys very seldom named their pigs for the fair. They didn't want to get that attached to worry about that, but they knew what the process was.
And we're talking animals here, and we have on the outside right now major heat.
Sure.
Another fair is in progress right now, and they're having to deal with it next week. Well, you never know with Mother Nature. Are you making contingency plans? Because this is a weather phenomenon that's been around for a week or so already and could stick around even to the beginning of next week.
It's always interesting as the few weeks leading up to the fair go on and we're out making some visits to exhibitors and family and talking with leaders and working at the fairgrounds, virtually everybody reminds me, the fair is coming next week, so that means one of two things or both. Either we will get a heavy downpour of rain.
Oh, that always happens.
Or it will be hotter than hot, and we'll have to deal with it. We get prepared for that. We make plans. We talk to exhibitors about what the best way to care for that. Fans in the barn, air movement, cooling stations, whatever we have to do to get the animals prepared. And Our exhibitors will be prepared for it. We will do what we need to do if this heat happens to hang with us. We'll make whatever adjustments it takes to make sure that we provide the best opportunity for the exhibitors, the animals, and the people coming to see.
And the animals themselves get a little more acclimated to it than we do because we're in and out of air conditioning all the time where they're
sure.
Just getting used to, well, it's hot.
Right.
We slow down and that's the end of that.
Most of them, if we actually can give them an opportunity, they will adjust much easier than we do. We try to provide the best conditions we can so they can adjust to it. But, yeah, you're right. They will have less of a problem. On show days, we're actually watching kids as close as we're watching animals to make sure that they get lots of fluids and sit down and take that break and don't get too excited to get overworked, as well as the animal.
Now, you have animals coming in for judging pretty much every day of the fair.
We do. When we move in on Sunday, starting right off on Monday, in terms of the livestock, sheep show is Monday afternoon evening. Hog show starts off first thing on Tuesday morning, 8:30 in the morning, and we'll run through. We're up on numbers this year all the way through, so our shows will all take a little bit longer. But the hog show on Tuesday, feeder steers start off at 9 o'clock on Wednesday, and the big steers at 9 o'clock on Thursday. And then running into the livestock sale on Friday, we smatter in there with small animal shows that go on as well. And, of course, everybody's favorites, the draft horses, you know, they're still scheduled for later in the week as well, early in the week. In fact, starting on Monday, we have the 4-H horse shows that go on. So you can virtually come to the fairgrounds anytime during the week, Monday through Friday, and see livestock being exhibited, shown, or sold, right through, in fact, Saturday small animal sale. So it goes on all the time.
How do you find judges for these types of things? I mean, A, you have to have people who know the animal.
Sure.
You have to have people who know the judging standards, because
mm-hmm.
there has to be some sort of standards you're applying
Absolutely.
Apples to apples with. And we're a very small local community. You're going to find people who know this person, and this person. It seems to me that would be kind of a difficult thing to find judges. Or are there like professionals that go around the state doing this?
There are professionals that go around the country doing this. Actually, it's not unusual. We have a fairly large livestock show. When it comes to a community fair or a 4-H FFA type fair, livestock numbers-wise, we rank right up there with some of the larger shows that way. So when we make calls for judges, sometimes we're getting judges from out of state that come in and judge. We try to make sure that we get judges who are professional quality, who don't have that local tie, to make sure that people don't complain about that. But our judges will come from all across the state and at times outside the state that we get in to do that. And it's a bit of a challenge at times. As the expense of travel goes up, those people cost money to get in and do that as well. So we work hard. Our superintendents of our different areas start midway through the winter making contacts to get judges lined up. That's not something that you make a call the week before the fair and try and get. You're doing that months and months ahead.
But these people just don't do one show a week, probably. If they're judging beef cattle here on Thursday, they may be doing it Friday in Alpena, and you know,
sure.
They keep moving around and do
sure,
this. It's a whole summer trip for them.
Many of them are people who were on livestock judging teams for colleges, and so as they get through their college career closer to graduation and have been on judging teams there, then they kind of, you might say, hit the circuit of judging county fairs or jackpot shows or that kind of thing. Or they are people who have been in that business for years and years, and you're right, that's their summer. In fact, that's half their year that they travel across the country judging livestock for shows and exhibit.
Is it different in different parts of the country? Do you have to look for somebody who knows Michigan cattle, but we raise here? Because, you know, they do longhorns in Texas. You know, we aren't going to have a longhorn up here, I don't think.
No, we won't have a longhorn here. The beef industry, the hog industry, the sheep industry, it pretty much across the country, industry standards are there. And those people can go just about any place in the country and look for quality animals. And so they have the experience of looking for what the packer wants to be able to put that animal through that will cut the best carcass to provide the best quality meat, the most efficient animal that's structurally sound, and that's their job to sort through that and make those decisions.
Less of a cosmetic beauty pageant and more of a substantial one on the internal.
Correct. We are talking market animals. The end result is many of these animals will end up on our table for food down the line, and so we are looking at what that judge thinks is the best quality animal for the show. Of course, in all species and all animals, we do have our showmanship, which is then based on the exhibitor's ability to present that animal to the judge, and that's a little different aspect of it as well.
Is it kind of sad that these are like prime animals? I mean, these are, you know, they picked the best looking ones at the beginning, and they're not around long enough to breed for the next time around because they go off to the slaughterhouse.
None of these animals would ever hit the breeding cycle anyway. Other than maybe a few of the pigs, maybe a couple of the sheep, the beef animals for the most part are all
raised
for that process. And that's, I mean, that's true across the country. We have those people out there that are in the business of providing the breeding stock for those businesses for this type of event. They have their stock at home that provide that. And most of us on this end are purchasing those animals, or in some cases have those animals at home that they raise from their stock to get to this point. But that's what the design is for those livestock animals. And, of course, as I said earlier, bigger and better, more animals this year than we've ever had.
And the sale helps the kids because they'll be going to college soon, and every little bit helps.
Absolutely. The vast majority of our kids... that's college education we're talking about. I talk to the kids when I taught ag, when I work with 4-H and FFA kids. It's scholarship money. That's kind of how most of them look at it. It's an opportunity to get the education through raising the animal, and when the sale comes on Friday, the funds that they get, most of that money, once they pay their expenses, in fact, mom and dad pay a lot of those expenses, but most of the money after that goes straight in the bank to prepare for college.
And a lot of times the kids get really more than market value because, you know, this isn't being taken down to a slaughter sale.
Correct.
This is people bidding. They get into the swing of things, and they,
sure,
you know, that you just see people at an auction that go crazy.
if you're not interested in buying, I understand that. A lot of people aren't. You need to come on out on Friday and see that activity. We have hundreds of people in that barn. Having fun, it's a great day. Yes, we greatly appreciate the local business and farmers and people that do support those kids by paying over market, paying premium price. But those people that want to come, if you want to come see a show, come on Friday to the sale. That's as big of a show as any other show that we have going, the horses, the 4-H building, the livestock shows. Friday's sale is as big of a show and performance as any of the rest of the week.
And it's about as community fair as you can get.
You bet it is. Absolutely. Wonderful.
What's coming up at the grandstands next week? I know that's the big nights each week. Weeknight, you seem to have something planned. You've talked about Wednesday. You've got the show coming on there. But you normally have some things that are even louder than a band.
Well, we have lots of things. There's things going on. Not all are a lot louder than a band. We kick it off, of course, on Sunday with the rodeo. Monday night, horse pulling. And of course, we wrap the week up at the end of the week with the tractor pulling, tractor and truck pulls that will be in on both Friday and Saturday night.
Are they different classes of tractors? Is that how it works?
If you haven't participated in that, you can come either night and see a great show. You may want your earplugs at times because some of those do get rather loud. We'll apologize for the neighbors that are close at hand planning on hearing a little noise, but it's a fun night. Fast and furious that goes and keeps that going. Also, something that we're bringing in on Tuesday night is the bump and run. We used to have the old demolition derbies that were around big time, and unfortunately those cars have gotten to be hard to find and expensive to operate. They have what they call bump and run now, where they'll have the smaller, lighter weight cars involved in a kind of a lapping demolition derby type activity. Lots of fun and spills. I actually heard that they may actually pay premium money if you go through and end up on your hood on part of that program. So it's a fun-filled night with lots of activity. If anybody's interested in participating in that, they could pick up a form at the fair office. It's actually a sanctioned event across the state, and they do this kind of thing all over. We should have quite a number of cars putting in quite a performance that night as well.
And I'm sure the information at the fair board will tell them how to make the car proper, because like the demo derby, you take the windows out and
sure,
stuff.
Sure, it's a whole set of rules and guidelines. I don't even want to start to get into that.
How much gas you can put into it, all that kind of stuff.
Sure, all kinds of safety features that are put in for those people.
No putting two big I-beams in the middle of it.
Yeah. No. They have all kinds of rules and regulations, I don't get into that. It is actually a group that we bring in that put that event on for us. We don't run that ourselves. 9 fair board members can't run everything, so most of the grandstand activities are groups that we bring in. Of course, we'll have the kicker rodeo back in again as well. We do that. So lots of good things happening.
Excellent. And it's just $3 to
just
get in?
Just $3 a person to come through the gate. I still say that's the cheapest entrance to just about any activity that goes on across the county. $3 at the gate to get in. Enjoy the shows, enjoy the activities. Yeah, it does cost for the grandstands. Those are extra, some of the extra things, and we talked about the wristbands for the kids to ride the rides. But if you're a person that wants to come and wander through the buildings, see the animals, check all of that out, for $3 it's a pretty cheap day.
And if people want more information about what's happening each night, do you have this on a web somewhere that they can go to and maybe print out a little bit of, well, let's go that night because we want to see that?
Sure. You can check out our website, the Huron Community Fair Association website. And there are flyers all around town, most of the local towns. If you look for a yellow flyer, a threefold flyer that's out there, it has the complete week activities and things. Or call or stop at the fairgrounds. There's somebody there most all the time now that can get that information. Of course, listen to the radio. It's on the radio. You've been doing a wonderful job of letting people know that. And the newspaper will have things throughout this week about what's going on as well.
So no excuses about saying you didn't know about it.
Absolutely not.
It's out there, and it's, again, it's the last week of July. You moved it up a bit. Has that worked out well for you folks at the fair?
It's worked real well. We moved up to that last week. It's actually an easier time for some of our preparations and get us ready for it. We're trying not to compete with other major events that go on, and works real well for us. We've had pretty good attendance. We hope for wonderful weather, and as I said when we started off, it's the place to be for the week. We kick off on Sunday the 24th and wrap up on Saturday the 30th. Just about any time from about 8 o'clock in the morning till 11 o'clock at night, there's something happening out there.
We look forward to hearing all the noise from the fairgrounds, even all the way here at the radio station next week. And we're going to be there most day and night anyway.
Sure.
So we appreciate you stopping out, Clark.
Appreciate the opportunity, and like I say, if anybody has more questions, check that website, call the office, stop at the fairgrounds. We can get you information on anything you need to know.
Good luck next week. I'll cross our fingers that we won't get that rain and the heat will abate.
Oh, we got to have a little shower. It wouldn't be the fair.
You said it, not me. Our guest today on the program has been Clark Brock. He's on the Huron Community Fair Board, the 143rd Huron Community Fair. Coming up next week, you won't want to miss it. A lot of activities each day. Again, you can go online, search, imagine Google, Huron Community Fair, and they will get you the website and show you exactly what's happening each day. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news here at WLEW.
Today's What Do You Think program was brought to you by your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents, Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Corey Vollmer and Deb McBride in Elkton, Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswick in Unionville, and Tim Fritz in Bad Axe. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.